Mr. Harris, good morning to you. Before you begin, Mr. Decker, you are also here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do either counsel have any questions before we begin?
No, sir.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is William Harris. I represent the appellate in this matter, Mr. Timothy Ashford. I have two issues that I want to address or focus the court's attention on. The first issue is recusal. When this complaint was initially filed and the judge was selected, I had filed a motion for the judge to recuse himself because Mr. Ashford had sued the judge prior on a case, Ashford versus Douglas County, and Judge Bowie was one of the judges listed.
Did Mr. Ashford sue all of the judges?
He didn't sue all of the judges, but he sued the judges that were, in this issue, he sued the judges that were on the criminal committee to that issues appointments. So he had sued Judge Bowie, and we asked the court to recuse itself because there's either argument there was actual bias or a perceived bias because Mr. Ashford has sued Mr. Bowie. In the past or in the future, other judges in Douglas County that Mr. Ashford had sued had recused themselves from cases involving Mr.
What was the status of that case that he had sued Judge Bowie at the time of the recusal motion?
I believe it had been dismissed, but Mr. Ashford had refiled it, and it was up for appeal in the Eighth Circuit, if I recall correct.
Didn't the Eighth Circuit dismiss it in 2018, and the judge here denied the motion to recuse in 2020?
Yes.
So the recusal was denied about 2 years after the lawsuit against the judge and others had been dismissed.
But I believe Mr. Ashford had filed with cert with the U.S. Supreme Court. So he was continuing to try to progress on the case, Your Honor, ma'am. And like I was saying, that other judges, i.e. Judge Gleason and Judge Daugherty, had recused themselves when Mr. Ashford had cases before them because Mr. Ashford had sued them in the past.
Haven't we often in cases said that merely having previously filed a lawsuit against the judge is not enough?
Well, I think in this instance, because the suit was new and what Mr. Ashford had alleged in the suit, there would be a distinction. One of the things that Mr. Ashford alleged in the suit was racism. So I think that would distinguish as far as making this different than most suits against judges or government employees. Going forward, based on Mr. Ashford's suit and what he alleged in his lawsuit against Judge Bowie, it's my belief that the court should have recused itself. Moreover, going into the summary judgment issue,
What kind of standard or discretion does the judge have?
So after the judge looks at the pleadings, the court has to determine whether a reasonable jury could find for the plaintiff. It's our position that Mr. Ashford was not able to do adequate discovery in this. This case was dismissed before he could subpoena both defendants. One defendant was out of state, so it was difficult to get her here in order for Mr. Ashford to depose her. So it was our belief that this case was, summary judgment was granted early in this case. There was not opportunity for Mr. Ashford to do reasonable discovery.
Did you ask to continue the hearing on the motion for summary judgment for the purpose of completing necessary discovery?
We asked, I asked the court to continue the summary judgment based on not having adequate notice and based on not opportunity to complete discovery, and the court overruled that objection. So, also, because Mr. Ashford didn't get a reasonable opportunity to do discovery against Roses and Rose Thomas, it's our belief that the court shouldn't have dismissed this. So we would ask that this court reverse the lower court's decision.
What do you contend that discovery would have disclosed that you didn't already have?
So this is a case where Mr. Ashford, there was a Google, we don't know if it's Miss Rose Thompson or the other defendant, wrote a review on Mr. Ashford, even though Mr. Ashford did not represent any other defendants. And so that review is on Google, and Google refuses to take it down. So it's our position, if we would have deposed them, we could have found out who exactly did the review. Now, subsequently, Roses in some of her pleadings admitted to doing to writing a review, but Mr. Ashford does not know who she is. He had no contact with her. So the only way she could have got that information to write the review on him would be from Andrea Tate. Mr. Ashford never represented any of these women. Mr. Ashford did represent Ms. Tate's husband in a prior matter, but he never represented Andrea Tate or Roses Thompson. So it's our belief that the discovery would show how Rose Thompson got the information to even know who Mr. Ashford is.
I beg your pardon. How did knowledge of Rose Thompson, right, she's the woman in Texas.
Yes.
How did that come to light?
Ms. Tate disclosed that, and counsel for Ms. Tate disclosed that Ms. Tate was the actual one who had wrote the Google review on Mr. Ashford.
So Thompson's existence was known in the course of litigation?
It was known after the second hearing it became known. Subsequently, we found out Ms. Thompson was out of state, that she was in Texas. And at that point, we had trouble getting her into Nebraska for a deposition.
Did you come to Nebraska for deposition?
No, we never got to deposition before.
Did she travel to Nebraska for deposition?
She has traveled to Nebraska for court hearings. At least one court hearing she actually appeared.
Wasn't there a motion for sanctions filed because she traveled here for a deposition that was canceled on the morning of the deposition?
There was.
And that motion was denied?
Yes.
The sanctions motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Other than that, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Court will allow.
Thank you very much. Mr. Decker, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice, Honorable Judges of the Supreme Court, opposing counsel. My name is Michael Decker, and I represent the appellees in this case, Andrea Tate and Rose Thompson, who in the course of this litigation was known as Roses. And this litigation began as a result of a Google review in which the appellants are claiming was libelous. We never got to the merits of that issue, whether the words themselves were libelous or not. But for purposes of the motion for summary judgment, there were several issues. The main one with regard to Andrea Tate was she wasn't the person that made the offensive review on Google. And that fact was not controverted by the appellants at the motion for summary judgment. With regard to the, there was a second suit. Rose Thompson was dismissed from, was a party to the, or a named party to the original suit, but she was never served with process. So the 6-month statute was applied and Judge Bowie dismissed her from the original action. After that occurred, the appellants chose to file a second lawsuit, which is why we have the two cases consolidated today. In that second suit, the appellants changed the date of the Google review in order to escape a facial challenge to the second complaint, because the statute, the applicable statute of limitations had already run. The statute of limitations in a case like this is 1 year. So what they, if you look at the second suit, the complaints was filed on August 31st, I believe, of 2020. And that's the date that they allege in the second suit that the posting occurred.
So do we look at the date the initial posting occurred? Do we look at the date later when somebody reads it for the first time? What's the important date to consider?
I think it's the date that the original posting occurred. And there's no doubt, based on this record, that this appellant knew when that Google review occurred, because he filed the initial suit within the applicable statute of limitations.
Is there any evidence about how many eyeballs saw it?
That we never got into that in terms of on for purposes of the motion for summary judgment. But I believe we did ask that during discovery, and I don't think we got a definitive answer on that from the if the appellant knew or had people approach him and saying, hey, I saw the review, tell me about this, is this a problem? We never got into that for purposes of the motion for summary judgment. With regard to the discovery issue, we were in the middle of presenting evidence on the motion for summary judgment when Judge Bowie granted the appellant's motion to continue the hearing in order to conduct discovery. The appellants chose only to send out a notice of deposition to depose Rose Thompson. They never sought to depose the Andrea Tate. My client came to Omaha from Houston, Texas. The record is clear that she came to Omaha from Houston, Texas to appear for the deposition. We were in constant contact with the opposing counsel about, there were issues about the location and the time of the when the deposition was going to occur, and we wanted a straight answer about that. And the record is pretty clear that we were in constant communication with opposing counsel about making sure this deposition happened, because we wanted to put an end to the litigation. And we knew that if this deposition didn't happen, our thought was that this was going to become an issue, and it has apparently has become an issue before this court. So we were trying to get the deposition completed as they requested. And at the last minute, they chose to cancel the deposition. He could have taken her deposition. The reason given to me, and we put this in the record on the motion for sanctions, was that they couldn't secure a court reporter. Well, that's not our problem. If he wants to take a deposition, he has to pay for it and secure a court reporter to make sure that that happens. So his complaint about discovery not happening is there, quite frankly, the fault is in the appellant's court on this one. The with respect to the recusal issue, I think Judge Bowie made it clear. Based on the nature of the suit that was filed by Mr. Ashford against the various judges of the Douglas County Court, that it really wasn't a personal matter. That it was, I think, many of the judges were sued in their capacity as district court judges, or being on a committee that was looking at the appointment of counsel for indigent defendants who were facing serious charges such as murder. And the Eighth Circuit case that had named Judge Bowie as a defendant was concluded before this litigation even started. And the Eighth Circuit had dismissed the action because, based on the facts of that case, there was no evidence that this Mr. Ashford was alleging that this committee had refused to appoint him to murder cases because of his race, but The Eighth Circuit noted that there was no evidence that the committee had even met yet. This was a brand new committee, and so they said, we don't even know if there's anything ripe for us to even look at.
And that occurred in 2018?
That was in 2018.
Opposing counsel asserts today that there was a petition for cert that had been filed. Is that in our record?
No. It's not in the record, Your Honor. And I'm not aware of a cert being filed before the U.S. Supreme Court. So I think under the circumstances, Judge Bowie looked at this and said, you know, I wasn't sued personally. I don't have a personal axe to grind with Mr. Ashford. And so therefore, the strong presumption that judges are going to hear cases, they're going to be impartial, should hold sway here with this court. The presumption is that a judge can fairly decide a case before him or her unless there can be a showing of actual prejudice. I could see where, you know, if you had been in an accident with a judge and had sued him for being in an accident, maybe that judge shouldn't sit in judgment of your case, or he had some sort of civil dispute with the judge in the past. But I don't think, based on this record, that there's anything indicating that there was anything actively going on between Judge Bowie and Mr. Ashford.
How does the Uniform Single Publication Act that Nebraska adopted, in part at least, apply in this case, if at all?
Well, with respect to, I'm not sure if it applies to the internet. Well, we believe that the single publication rule is consistent with Nebraska case law, Your Honor. And so therefore, we're urging that this court adopt that with regard to internet publications rather than in addition to book or magazine type publications.
What would be the difference between internet and books?
I don't think there is any in today's world. Quite a lot of people read their books, they stream their books and things like that on the internet. So the concerns about books and internet are pretty much the same, because a publisher could republish a book, put a different cover on it, things of that nature. And so a publisher wouldn't be able to do that without the single publication rule if they had to worry about constant suits about libelous material in the published book. Same thing goes with the internet.
There's perhaps at least a textual argument to make that our statute does not apply to the internet.
I think so.
But we haven't weighed in on
it. You haven't weighed in on it.
All right. Thank you.
I think it's completely consistent with your prior case law. The single pub in every jurisdiction that basically has taken a serious look at the single publication rule with regard to internet publication has adopted it. There are no further questions. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. We have time for rebuttal.
2 minutes and 8 seconds.
2 minutes and 8 seconds, Mr. Harris.
Thank you. As far as the statute of limitations, as far as the internet, it's our belief that the court erred. It should have been the same date as required under the Nebraska Revised Statute 25-519. When we initially attempted to serve Ms. Rose Thompson, it was our belief that she could be served by sending service to Andrea Tate, her niece. I subsequently did a notice of publication in order to serve Ms. Rose Thompson. So in this situation, it's our belief under the statute and under the case law that service didn't have to be made until it was actually published to where there was a notice of publication and she received notice like that.
Are you talking about the first action or the second?
The second, Your Honor.
Thank you.
As far as the searches, to this day, if you Google Mr. Ashford's name on Google, the first thing that comes up is the review that either Rose Thompson or Andrea Tate wrote which obviously affects his reputation. So with that, we would ask that this court reverse the lower court's decision and send it back down. Thank you.
Is there any factual dispute in our record about the date on which that Google review was posted?
Well, so there is a dispute on that. Initially, when we had filed, it was our belief that it was one date. When we actually attempted to subpoena Google, we found out it was an actual different date when it was actually put up, if that answered the court. Or
does that difference make any legal difference in this case?
I think it makes a difference as far as service, sir. But other than that, no other legal difference.
So what are those two dates?
I don't recall off the top of my
head. Where would we find it in our record?
I don't know for sure. I don't recall exactly where it is in the record, but it should be in the record somewhere. I apologize for not having that exact page and number for the justice. Any other questions? If other than that, my time looks like it's up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Timothy L. Ashford, PC, LLO versus Roses, and Same versus Tate. So, counsel, you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Albarenga.